All right, hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
Yes, welcome back.
This time we're tackling Chapter 11 of Speak Out, Call In.
Ooh, Chapter 11, a good one.
It is, yeah. All about rehearsal and, you know, getting ready for those big speeches.
Public speaking, yeah. Definitely a topic that I think a lot of students are
definitely, yeah.
Curious about.
I know I was terrified of public speaking in college, so.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Hopefully this will help some people out there.
Absolutely. And you know, what I think is so interesting about this chapter is how it really breaks down those myths, you know, like the idea that good speakers are just born that way.
Right. Or that you don't have to rehearse if you're a natural.
Exactly.
Like some people think that, but.
You see those people bombing on stage, right?
Yeah, for sure. And this chapter really emphasizes that anyone can become a better speaker with the right techniques and practice.
Yeah, it's a skill you can develop just like anything else.
Okay, so let's jump right in. The chapter starts by talking about different delivery styles.
Right, you've got your impromptu.
Yeah, like if you're just put on the spot.
Exactly, no time to prepare. Then there's extemporaneous, which is what we'll be focusing on in this class.
Oh, right. I remember that from the syllabus.
It's all about being prepared, but not robotic. Like you have your notes and you've practiced, but you're not reading word for word.
So you can be more conversational and adapt to the audience.
Exactly.
Then there's manuscript speaking, which is basically reading from a script.
Think teleprompters, presidential addresses, that kind of thing.
And finally, memorized speeches, which, well, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Though I wouldn't recommend it for this class, way too much pressure.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So focusing on extemporaneous speaking for this class, that's where we'll spend most of our time today.
Sounds good. Now, the chapter goes on to talk about rehearsal, and I've got to be honest, I used to think rehearsal was just like running through your speech a couple of times the night before.
Oh, I know that feeling.
But this chapter presents a whole new perspective on rehearsal.
Rehearsal is a process, not a one-time thing.
I like that.
It's like training for a marathon.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So one of the first things the chapter talks about is something called checking the space. And it might seem kind of...
What does the space have to do with giving a speech?
Right. That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But actually, it makes a huge difference. Imagine you've been practicing in your tiny dorm room, and then you get to the presentation and it's in this massive lecture hall with a stage and bright lights.
And a microphone. Oh my gosh, I hate microphones.
Exactly. It can throw you off completely if you're not prepared.
Right. It's like stage fright times 10.
Yeah. So checking the space means actually going to the room where you'll be presenting before the big day, walking around, getting a feel for the environment.
So you're not totally surprised when you get up there.
Exactly. It's all about minimizing those distractions and feeling as comfortable as possible so you can focus on your message.
That makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it that way.
And then the chapter goes into some really practical workshop strategies for rehearsal, things you can actually do as you practice to make your speech stronger.
Okay, let's hear them. I'm ready to take notes.
Well, the first one is self-assessment. Which might sound a little scary.
Oh, yeah, watching myself on video. No, thank you.
I know. It can be a bit cringy, but trust me, it's so valuable.
I guess you can't really improve if you don't know what you're doing wrong.
Right. It's like reviewing game footage. You need to see yourself in action to analyze what's working, what could be better.
Like those blind spots we don't even realize we have.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do we actually go about self-assessing? Like, what should we be looking for?
Well, the chapter recommends taking a two-pronged approach.
Okay, I like where this is going.
First, look at the big picture. Your overall presence, your energy level, the vibe you're putting out there, does it align with your message?
Like, am I coming across as confident and engaging? Or am I, like, totally monotone and boring?
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Okay, got it.
And then once you've got the big picture, zoom in on specific moments in your speech. What felt smooth and natural? Where did you stumble or feel unsure? What could you tweak to make it even more engaging?
So it's a combination of like big picture thinking and then really nitpicky details.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this could be really helpful.
And remember, you're not looking for perfection here. You're looking for progress. Each time you review your rehearsal, you'll get a little bit better, a little bit more confident.
Okay, that's reassuring.
Another important tip is to rehearse with all the materials you'll be using on the big day.
Well, that's a good one.
Like if you're using note cards, visual aids, props, or any kind of technology, practice with those from the beginning.
Yeah, I've definitely been guilty of waiting till the last minute to figure out the PowerPoint clicker.
It's so much easier to avoid those last minute fumbles if you're already familiar with everything you'll be using.
Makes sense. It's all about feeling comfortable and prepared.
Right. And it helps you integrate those materials seamlessly into your presentation.
So they become an extension of you, not a distraction.
Exactly. And then there's repetition.
Oh, so just practice, practice, practice.
Well, yes and no. It's not just about mindlessly going through the motions over and over again. It's about rehearsing with intention, focusing on refining your delivery and making each iteration more impactful than the last.
So it's about quality over quantity.
Exactly.
But how do you keep it from getting boring, you know, practicing the same speech over and over?
That's where experimentation comes in.
Experimentation.
Yeah. Try different approaches during your rehearsals. Experiment with different tones, paces, and gestures.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe you try slowing down your pace to emphasize a key point, or you experiment with different hand gestures to see what feels most natural.
I like that. It's like finding your own rhythm and style within the speech.
Exactly. It's about discovering what works best for you, your message, and your audience.
Okay, so we've got self-assessment, rehearsing with materials, repetition with intention, and experimentation. Any other tips for rehearsal domination?
One last one, especially if you struggle with stage fright or get nervous before presentations.
Okay, hit me with it, because that's definitely me.
It's called gradually increasing stressors.
That sounds kind of intense.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay, good.
It's basically about slowly exposing yourself to the things that trigger those nerves so you can build up your confidence and learn to manage those anxious feelings.
So, like, if I'm terrified of speaking in front of a large audience,
yeah,
I might start by rehearsing in front of, like, my roommate, then maybe a few friends, and gradually work my way up to bigger groups.
Exactly. It's like training for a marathon by gradually increasing your mileage.
You don't start by running 26 miles on day one.
Right. You build up your stamina and endurance over time. The same principle applies to public speaking.
That's a really helpful way to think about it. It makes it seem a lot less daunting.
And the more you practice in those increasingly challenging situations, the more comfortable and confident you'll become.
Okay. I'm feeling more confident already.
Good. That's the goal.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from different delivery styles to all these amazing rehearsal strategies.
It's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's all super valuable stuff.
Definitely.
Now, before we move on to the next section, I wanted to touch on something else the chapter mentions. Warming up your voice and body on the day of the speech.
Oh, that's so important. Think of it like an athlete warming up before a big game.
Yeah, you don't just jump into a marathon without stretching first.
Exactly. You want to make sure your vocal cords are loose and ready to go and that your body is feeling energized and aligned.
So what are we talking about here? Like vocal exercises, stretching?
All of that. You can do simple things like opening and closing your mouth wide, rolling your tongue around, humming up and down your vocal range.
Okay, I can try that.
And don't forget about stretching your body, taking deep breaths, maybe even a little power posing in the mirror to boost your confidence.
I love it. I'm all about that power posing.
It's all about getting into that optimal performance state, both mentally and physically.
This is all great advice, but now I'm really curious about this whole virtual reality thing they mentioned in the chapter.
Oh yeah, VR for public speaking.
It sounds super futuristic.
It is pretty cool, but it's becoming more and more common.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a secret weapon for conquering stage fright.
Okay, I am definitely intrigued. Tell me everything.
All right, so imagine this. You slip on a VR headset, and all of a sudden you're standing on a virtual stage.
Oh, hold on.
And you look out, and there's like rows of virtual audience members staring back at you.
Okay, that sounds kind of freaky, but I'm with you.
Right, but the cool thing is it's designed to feel so real.
So it's like a public speaking simulator.
Exactly.
Without the real life pressure.
Exactly. You can practice your speech, try different delivery styles, even make mistakes without feeling self-conscious because, hey, it's just you and those virtual folks.
You can work out all those kinks in a safe space.
Yep. And the best part is you can customize the whole experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like you can adjust the size of the audience, make it a small group or a giant crowd, whatever you're most nervous about.
That's smart.
You can even change the venue, like practice in a classroom setting or go full-on auditorium.
Whoa. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure for public speaking.
Right. And some VR programs even give you feedback on your performance.
No way. How does that work?
They use all these fancy algorithms to analyze things like your speech patterns, your body language, even your eye contact.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's like having a personal coach pointing out areas where you can improve.
Okay, that's really cool. I can see how VR could be a game changer for people who get really nervous about public speaking.
Oh, absolutely. It helps reduce anxiety, build confidence, and you can really fine-tune your delivery skills.
I'm sold on this VR thing. Maybe I need to get myself one of those headsets.
Well, a lot of universities universities are starting to incorporate VR into their public speaking programs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more common. And there are also some great consumer-grade VR apps out there.
Hmm, something to check out for sure.
Definitely. Now, let's get back to those more traditional methods.
Okay.
The chapter also talks about the importance of warming up your voice and body on the day of the speech.
Oh, right, like a pregame ritual.
Exactly. You want to make sure your vocal cords are loose and ready to go.
So what kind of warm-ups are we talking about here?
Simple things like opening and closing your mouth wide, rolling your tongue around, humming up and down your vocal range.
Okay, so just kind of getting those muscles moving.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do that.
And don't forget about your body. Stretching, deep breathing, even a little power posing can help you feel more grounded and energized.
I love that. It's all about getting into the zone.
Precisely. The chapter also mentions something called centering, which is basically a technique for calming your nerves and focusing your energy.
Centering? Is that like meditation?
Kind of. It's about taking a few moments to connect with your breath, ground yourself in the present moment, and visualize yourself delivering a successful speech.
Hmm. I like that. I could definitely use some help with the whole calming the nerves thing.
It's all about finding what works best for you and incorporating those little rituals into your pre-speech routine.
Okay, I'm taking notes.
The more prepared and centered you feel, the more confident and engaging you'll be when you step up to speak.
Makes sense.
All right, so we've covered delivery styles, rehearsal strategies, VR training, and even some pre-speech rituals.
Whew, that's a lot.
It is, but we're not quite done yet.
All right. What else is there?
We still need to talk about one of the most crucial elements of a successful speech. Speaking notes.
Ah, yes, the good old notes. Because no one wants to see me up there fumbling with a stack of papers.
Exactly. And it's not just about looking professional. Good speaking notes can actually enhance your delivery and help you connect with the audience.
Okay, now I'm really interested. So, what's the secret? What should our speaking notes look like?
Well, first of all, don't write out your entire speech word for word.
Oh, good, because that would be a lot of writing.
It would, and it's also not very effective. Reading from a script can make you sound robotic and disconnected.
Right, it's like you're not even talking to the audience, you're just reading to them.
Exactly. And it can also make you more likely to stumble or lose your place if you get thrown off track.
Okay, so no scripts. What should we do instead?
The chapter recommends creating a keyword outline, using just a few words or phrases to jog your memory.
So just the main points and key ideas?
Yeah, like bullet points and keywords instead of complete sentences.
That makes sense.
And you can use visual cues too, like different colors or symbols to highlight important points.
So it's like creating a visual map of your speech.
Exactly. It's all about making your notes work for you, using whatever techniques help you remember your content and deliver it with impact.
Okay, this is making a lot more sense now.
And don't forget to include oral citations for any sources you're using.
Right, gotta give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. And here's a little bonus tip. Add reminders to yourself throughout your notes.
Reminders? Like what?
Things like speak up, slow down, or eye contact. Little nudges to help you stay on track.
Oh, that's a great idea. I definitely have a tendency to speed up when I get nervous.
It's like having a little coach whispering in your ear.
I love that.
And you know what? Chapter 6 of Speak Out, Call In actually goes even deeper into the art of creating effective speaking notes.
Oh, really? So we should check that out, too.
Definitely. It has step-by-step guidance, examples, and even templates.
Wow, this book is a gold mine.
It is. It's full of practical tips and strategies that can help you become a more confident and effective speaker.
Well, I'm feeling a lot more confident already just from our conversation today.
Good, that's the goal.
We've covered so much ground, from delivery styles and rehearsal techniques to virtual reality training and the art of crafting killer speaking notes.
It's been a deep dive for sure.
And remember, the goal is not to be perfect. It's to be confident and engaging.
Exactly. Connect with your audience, let your passion shine through, and you'll do great.
Amazing advice. Well, I think that wraps up our deep dive into Chapter 11 of Speak Out, Call In.
A very deep dive indeed.
We covered a lot of ground today, but hopefully you all feel more prepared and confident to tackle those upcoming speeches.
You got this.
Remember, the power of effective communication is within your reach. Now go out there and make your voice heard.
Yes, go rock those speeches.
All right, that's it for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.